Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Alongside Tom Thayer, the 85 Bear, I'm Zach Zabeman, pleased to be joined by Bears starting left tackle Charles Leno Jr. as the Bears get ready to take on Detroit tomorrow at Soldier Field. So this is crunch time now. You guys are getting ready for the game. What's it like in the team hotel as you guys prepare the night before a game?
Well, you got a lot of nerves, but for the most part, guys are calm. You know, Coach Fox has a, you know, meeting between the players, and you know, a captain or a leader comes up and speaks to the team, and you know, it just energizes, get our mind right, ready for the game.
You know, since you came to the Bears, this is what you're built for. You know, I was reading about you start 39 consecutive games in college, and then I read you start 14 out of 22 games since you've been in the pros. You know, when you get ready to start a game on Sunday, that's the mentality that you've had to have since you became a part of the Bears.
Absolutely. I kind of pride myself on not going into the training room. I just don't like it in there, just personal preference. But, yeah, I just try to take care of my body, you know, eat healthy, work out right, do things to take care of myself.
What's different about you today that when you first came to the Bears? Were you in sticker shock? Did you watch for a couple days and go, okay, I got this, man. It's just going to take a little time and get the recognition.
Oh, yeah. When I first got here, it was all new. Like, when something's new, you just got to – it takes time to adjust to things. But now I'm just starting to figure out the detailed things of playing football. Now it's not less about worrying about the play. Now I got to know what this guy's going to do across from me and what I'm going to do to stop it. So,
why are you so good at the most difficult position on the offensive line? Because, you know, it's a special breed of players are good left tackles, and it's unique because it's unlike the right side of the offensive line or even into the left guard position. Why are you so good at the left tackle position?
A lot of film work, a lot of hard work and dedication, I would say. I just put a lot of effort into what I do. I don't take any days off. I don't like to go out there and just wing it. I put a lot of preparation into my work.
Charles Leno Jr., our guest, the Bears starting left tackle here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I want to hit on what Tom just said, because I think most people, when they're watching a football game, you're not watching the offensive line. You notice when they're playing well and when they're not, but you're watching the ball. So people don't spend the specific eye that you spend watching a left tackle. Why did you say what you said, Tom? What is it about the way Charles plays that stands out?
Are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay. When you grow up as a right-handed person, everything you do is right first. You know, your balance, the way you step, the way you walk, you know, your running style. Now take everything away from your right-handed balance and put it left-handed. Change the way you step first. Change the way you retreat off the line of scrimmage. Now your balance is with a left-handed stance instead of something you're comfortable in going down to a right-handed stance. So it's kind of like you have to reorganize your entire body of doing everything opposite that you really do. You know, it's like if they said, hey, all right, now I want you to start writing left-handed for the rest of your life. It's not going to be that easy. It's just not easy to be a left tackle in the NFL, especially when you're playing against a talented athlete that's running full speed off the line of scrimmage at you. And then to have the organized balance, making sure that you can deliver a punch without getting your head down and getting too much momentum forward, there are just so many details to it that it's only a special few that are really good at that position.
It's the footwork.
Yeah, footwork, hands, and knowing what your opponent is going to do is a big key. I mean, a lot of good ones study their film. You know, if you want to be great, you study your film, you know what your opponent is going to do, so you can react faster than what he's going to do or know what he's going to do before he makes his move.
When you say hands, you're talking about keeping your hands in at all times,
yeah.
Right? Why?
Well, you have to keep them inside the framework of the body when you deliver a punch. And it's not like a boxer that you assume that you draw your arm back and you punch. It's only a little 6-inch explosion punch, but it's the target. And that's the thing that I've always admired about you, Charles, that it's really difficult to have an organized punch inside the framework of the body to keep it from guys that, you know, start that you have a term ice picks where the guys reach on the outside and it's not good for an offensive lineman. And is that something that you developed in college and you brought to the NFL, or is it something that you understood going, look, I'm playing against some talented guys. This is a part of my game that I need to continue to develop.
A mix of both. I know my coach in college always said, work independent hands and make sure you get a good punch on the guys. But being in NFL, you have to understand that these guys are really good athletes, really good pros, and you want to get as much separation as possible. I want to personally because I know I have long arms, and I want them to get the distance away from me.
You know, Saturday night, the night before a game, and you have the technology where you have you can sit there and you can watch tape repeatedly. What are the I don't want you to give away any secrets, but what are some of the last second details that you look at of your opponent, whether it's the Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys or the Houston Texans or whoever you're going to play against? What are some of the last little things you look at?
The last little detailed things I look at is probably the footwork of how many steps they're taking to get off the ball. You know, just little small things. I already know the basis of the plays we're going to run. I already know what I'm going to do to them. But I want to know what's something they're going to do to me. Like, when are they going to make the rip move? When are they going to be making pick stunts and things like that? So I just look at the finish up the little minor details on things like that.
When's the big study day in terms of the video? When do you start breaking down your specific opponent?
For me, I would say Tuesday because it's a day off and I'm already on to the next team. You know, we play on Sundays, and, you know, Monday is a review day, and Tuesday is a day off, but I'm already on it on Tuesday. The big day for everybody is Wednesday. For me, it's Tuesday because I just like to get a jump start.
When you do the individual review of yourself, being an ex-offensive lineman, you sit there and you watch yourself maybe four or five times every single play. How long does it take you on that Monday to get through a tape of when you're not watching all five guys, you're watching Chuck Leno Jr.?
So if I was watching myself personally, I'd probably say about probably 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Not a couple hours. I can't spend that much time. I'll run myself crazy, man. I'll be so detailed and so worried about every bad mistake. Sometimes you got to take it and correct it and move on.
There's so many fascinating questions. Who taught you how to watch tape the right way? Because I think that's a huge part of the learning process.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge part of the learning process. And I would say my coach in college, Chris Strasser, now at Washington, he was a coach at Boise, but he taught us really well how to watch tape. He broke it down. You know, we have film criteria sheets. We had to watch what the defense is going to do. Are they running games? Like, when are they going to run games? What's their favorite pass rush moves? A lot of details in it.
How long does it take before you trust what you're watching and what you're identifying by watching it?
You got to go out there and do it. I mean, like, you can say, all right, I'm going to do this and watch it over and over again, but unless you go out there and actually practice it and do it, you're not going to do it at all.
Chuck Leno Jr. is our guest. We got to take our first time out. It is the night before the Bears return to Soldier Field to take on the Lions tomorrow. Is Chuck Leno going to sleep? That's the big question. Could you sleep the night before games, Tom?
A little bit, you know.
Yeah, so the answer is no.
You kind of jitter through the whole season anyways.
We'll come back more with the Bears starting left tackle next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. If you're coming to any of the next three Bears home games, check out the Miller Lite Chicago Bears Ultimate Tailgate, brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, starting 2.5 hours before kickoff right outside of Soldier Field. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by a man who's going to be playing on the playing surface tomorrow at Soldier Field, Bear starting left tackle Charles Leno Jr. Your teammates call you Chuck, right? No one calls you Charles, do they?
A couple of them do, yeah.
What do you like to be called?
Leno.
Right.
Just call him
See,
by my last name.
Is anybody in your family named Jay? Do you have any family members named
No.
Because you know what?
Uncle JC.
I refer to you a lot on on different avenues of broadcasts. And a lot of times I'll accidentally say Jay just because I'm thinking of your last name before your first name.
Yeah. I got a lot of different nicknames on this team. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, the offensive line coach, Dave Magus, at least last year when he first started to coach you up, he called you Jay all the time.
Like it was my name. And sometimes in meeting, Jay Cutler would be like, that's not his name.
Yeah, there's only one Jay
exactly.
on the offense, and that's Jay Cutler. But is it almost, you know, we heard when Buddy Ryan passed away, the legendary Bears defensive coordinator, all of his former players would say that he didn't call them by their name. In order to get that respect, it started out he called you by your uniform number, and then eventually once he started calling you by your name, you knew you would really earn something.
Yeah.
Is that the way with Max?
No, Max is just Max. Like, he's going to give you whatever name he feels fits you, and that's how it was for me. But now he got away from me. He calls me Charles Leno. I don't know what he calls me, actually. It's kind of weird. I'm thinking about it now.
You know, talking about Mags and yourself, Saturday night, the night before a game, kind of a, you know, for a football player, it kind of builds through the week, and you become the ultimate edginess on this Saturday night. How does Mags address you, not address you as a person, but address your offensive line in the Saturday evening, knowing that, you know, it's an extremely pressure-filled occupation being a football player. Not only the mental side of it, but the physical side of it and the winning and losing factor of the game. How does Mags address you guys on a Saturday evening meeting, the last time I'm really going to address you in this format before we actually take the field?
Well, it's really calm. He doesn't want to get us too amped up. You know, we're not playing right then and there.
Correct.
So it's really calm. He just tries to go over the things that we did some things we did wrong in practice, some things we did good in practice, and tried to correct this and let us know, like, what to look forward to in the game, like last minute detail things that we need to go over. So it's really, really calm meeting, really just like a review of the week and just prepare for the game.
One of the coolest things that John Fox does is he has a player, and you mentioned it earlier, sometimes it's a captain, sometimes it's just someone that's respected in the locker room, come up and address the team the night before the game. Who's given the best speech in your time over the last year plus?
The best speech.
This can't
Matt
be good.
Slauson. No, Matt Slauson gave one before we played Seattle. That was really good. I like that one a lot. Yeah, I think that was probably one of the best. Not because he was just a lineman, but I mean, I know he's speaking from the heart, and it was just a really good speech.
Have you ever been asked to be that guy?
Yeah, last year. Yeah,
and how did that give you more nerves than actually playing in the game, to have to stand up in front of the teammates and be the guy that has to motivate the crew?
No, I was just a little bit nervous because it is the guys. You know, it is my teammates, and I am addressing them. But for the most part, I know I go to work with those guys every day, you know, and I know what they feel about me. I know what they see of me, but just giving them my point of view of how I wanted to end the season, you know, with the speech. So they understood where I was coming from, and it was just a really good time. I was really appreciative of Fox letting me do that.
Did you ad lib, or did you think about the message you wanted to deliver?
I had three bullet points. I went right through them, and I was just speaking from the heart.
And from what I understand, sometimes it gets involved. Sometimes guys will put up videos and
it can be a whole circus act, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever you feel like. I know Zach Miller went MMA style at one point, right? Like where he had, I believe he was talking about Conor McGregor. I could be wrong on this, but he tried to use that as motivation. So
yeah,
there's
you can use whatever you feel to have the team get the edge for the game.
Now you seem so calm. So do you get a good night's sleep the night before the game, or are you constantly? I mean, obviously people get nervous.
Yeah.
I'm sure you get a little nervous.
Absolutely. You get nervous before the game. Day before the game, yes. I mean, it kind of builds. You know, through the week of practice, it starts Wednesday. You know, you're not really so much nervous because you're going to get your defense. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's not so much. But after Friday, Saturday comes around, you're like, all right, we're almost here. So you kind of got to lock in, get focused, and, you know, that's when the nerves start to kick in a little bit.
But, you know, offensive linemen are different because you always have to be under control. It's not like that you can lose your head and lose your mind and just start waylaying away, because it is about understanding your assignment. How does your assignment work with the four other guys? What is the snap count? How do I get off either aggressively or in a really balanced type of stance? So offensive linemen, they're just bred differently because you still have that edginess that, you know, I see you sit here the night before the game and your legs are shaking up and down. And, you know, that's just the way you roll. But I think you have to be more mentally in control because there's so many details to your job. Every single snap, every single series.
Yeah, you're right. And but once you know the snap count, once you know your job and what you know, well, you think you know what the defender is going to do, but you can know that by film study, then you can be aggressive. Then you can fire off and be the wild madman you possibly can be.
Are you any different? So this week you're going to face a 4-3 defense for the third week in a row. But the Bears play a 3-4 style of defense. You played 3-4 style in the preseason. You practice against the 34 defense. Are you any different about going about your job when you know that you have a defensive lineman on a 4-3 that's lined up on you the whole game, or in a 34 defense that you may have a defensive end, he may slide down to the guard, you may have an outside linebacker? Do you approach your preparation differently depending upon the defense you're going to face?
Most definitely you have to, because I know for, you know, 3-4 defense, they're more reading. You know, they're reading what the offensive lineman is going to do, then they're going to react. 4-3s, they're coming right at you. So you have to be a little bit quicker with your feet, quicker with your hands and things like that.
Are you superstitious?
Yeah, I am. I actually am. Yeah.
All right, hold on. So we're gonna find out, because I love this. Were you superstitious? Yeah, Tom,
yeah,
of course you were.
I was.
What was your big thing the night before a game?
It was more the day of a game. I wanted to be the first person in the locker room the morning of a game. And then the way I went about my getting dressed, it was real, you know, it was a prepared way. I don't think I've ever played with anybody more superstitious than Steve McMichael, down to the pieces of tape that had to be used to tape his ankle, the way he chose his socks that he was going to wear. And it's funny, because when you do play with someone long enough, you get to know their little special weirdnesses about their preparation.
Yeah, I'm not calling you weird, Charles, but Tom did, by the way. But we're going to find out next what your superstitions are and all the guys that you play with on that offensive line, because you got to be like family in order to have success. Charles Leno Jr. is our guest. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of them, Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sadman. Bears left tackle Charles Leno Jr. is with us as well as he gets ready for tomorrow's game. Not night. It's during the day, the way football should be played at Soldier Field against the Lions. So right before the break, you were talking about how you are superstitious leading into a game. What are those superstitions, the ones that you want to share?
One I want to share is, so I have this wrist bracelet, Rex Life. That's one of my friends, company. Well, he goes by Rex Life Raj. He's a rapper, and that's like one of my best friends in the world. You know, he's my best friend in the world. And I have this bracelet on, and it broke before the Houston game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was just... like, for some reason, once it broke, because I always put it on, I put it on my sock, and, you know, I'm good. I'm good mm-hmm. to go. I got it with me. It's all good, because I don't like to, what if I get taped and I cut it off or something like that, because that happened before I practiced.
Right.
So I put it in there, and then once it broke, I was just like, wow, that never happened. Why did it break? How did, like, what's going on? I just, you know, you just think about things are going wrong, and
it,
you try to forget
routine.
It, and then yeah. it's like, once the game ended, I was like, it's because of the bracelet. I know it's because of the bracelet. And then, you know, things like that.
So now do you carry an extra one with you?
Yeah, I got one on my wrist and I got another one. I got one in the car. I got a couple of them around.
You know, are you a noon guy? Are you a Monday night, Sunday night type of guy? Because to me, I like noon games. I like to get my day started and roll out at noon and get it going. To me, you know, there's times that I ate too much at the pregame meal on a Monday night game, and I was tired by the time the game started. So what type of guy are you?
Noon all the way. I love the noon games. Let's get this thing going right now. You know, I can't wait to get it started.
Is it do you have to be woken up, or are you up kind of ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to go. I might set my alarm clock for 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock. It's ready to go. I mean, I'm up early. We get up early every day anyway, so waking up at 8 o'clock is probably sleeping into me. Waking up at 7 is sleeping into me, so.
So that's why these night games, it screws up your whole body clock.
Exactly. We practice at, you know, almost high noon anyway. So.
Yeah, I've never understood why, for the night games, wouldn't it help, and I could be wrong on this because obviously I never played the game, but wouldn't it help to actually practice closer to the time that you're going to play?
I think so. I mean, but it's kind of hard. I don't know if we can do that during the week, because we have so many meetings just leading up to practice at night.
Yeah,
know?
That's true. Yeah.
Well, we had a lot of night games that we are unsuccessful, so they tried to change the schedule, so many different details of your day, and it didn't work. So I think you fall into a rhythm of, you know, the football players live an itinerary life once the season starts. So it's just about the way you go about your business. And, you know, even if you're, you know, yawning before kickoff, by the time the ball's kicked off, that's all forgotten about. You're ready to roll no matter what time it is.
Adrenaline kicks in and you're not yawning until you go to sleep that night.
Bears left tackle Charlano Jr. is with us. This whole thing started when we were talking about superstitions, and you have a unique group in that offensive line room. You know, right next to you got Josh Sitton. Then you got the rookie Cody Whitehair, Kyle Long, and we could do a whole show on him. And then you've got Bobby Massey. Who has the most unique superstitions out of that group?
I don't know who has the most unique superstitions, but I can tell you who's the weirdest during the game day. And that's the guy next to me. That's my right hand man, Josh. He's himself all the way into game day. I remember last game, he was like, "Oh, I got to relax. We got a game coming up." You know, it's just like, yeah, we got a game coming in like 50 minutes, man. What are you doing? You know, he's just really calm. He's done it a long time, so he understands. He understands how to play the game, and it's just really cool seeing him, you know, in the locker room and the way he, you know, carries himself all around.
You know what's amazing is Zach Miller missed a lot of the preseason with his concussion protocol. They brought in Logan Paulson right at the end of preseason. They brought in Josh Sitton right at the end of preseason. In the details of your job, they require everybody else for all you guys to be on the same page. So from the end of the preseason to up until tonight, has it been constant communication with those guys of getting to know how Josh works, getting to know how Logan Paulson works, getting to know Zach Miller a little bit better because he really emerged on the scene last year? And there's a lot of things that you need to know about those four guys, those three guys, and the way they play.
Yes, and you're right about that. And this is a lot of communication. A lot of time we spend on the practice field and talking after plays. I know me and Logan talk almost after every play, combo block we have together. Obviously, me and Josh talk all the time, like, I'm going to do it this way. How are you going to do it? What do you like? It's a lot of communication that goes on, and that just helps the team in the offensive line and the tight ends and everybody work closer and closer together.
Did Josh bring anything with him saying, hey, I'm this is the way I go about this type of block, or this is what I like to do on this type of play? And have you guys been able to, you know, you grow off of his experiences? Just like when Jermon Bushrod was here, you can really learn a lot from a guy that has his experiences. And now it spills over to the left guard that has got, you know, the experiences he's had in the NFL.
Oh, definitely. He tells me how he does sets, and I have to adjust accordingly sometimes. But for the most part, we've been working really well together and building these last few weeks that we kind of get it and kind of understand each other.
I think it's remarkable that a guy comes in a week before the season starts, doesn't know the offense, spends that entire week, and I don't know how he did it, just to get ready to play that season opener. And, you know, when you watch him play, it's been seamless the way he's adjusted to what you guys do. How does that happen?
It goes with his profession, man. You got to do it, first of all, but he's just an all-pro. You know, he's a guy that comes to work every day with a great sense of humor, great, you know, attitude. I love him to death for that because, you know, sometimes things get rough. But he always has a good sense of humor. Always has a good, you know, vibe to him, and he just goes to work hard every day, and you know, just tries to get better, trying to get us better.
See, I bring it up because you got thrown into the mix. You didn't know when you were going to play last year. You got thrown into the mix week three, right in Seattle, when Jermon Bushrod went down with the injuries. I think shoulder and a concussion at the time, and then boom, you're in there. Toughest place to play on the road. You can't hear what the quarterback is saying, and yet you were able to get through it to a level where they trusted you ever since. So, but you had the entire offseason to prepare. You understood the – Sitton had, what, 5 days really to get ready?
Yeah. He had probably close to one whole week, maybe 6 days. Yeah, and it was – he's good, though. You know, I mean, I can't really say too much about him because he's just – he's a pro. And then the way he carries himself, the way he goes about his business – just all good.
You know, there's little ways that offensive linemen can communicate in the huddle without ever saying a word, but when you guys went to Houston, there is no verbal communication just because of the crowd noise. And were you in any way, shape, or form able to kind of, you know, say they call the play in the huddle, you guys are next to each other, a little elbow bump between the two of you, just letting them understand, hey, I know that we're together and on in this play. So was there, and now you have to be growing through that now because he's, you know, repetitiously he's been hearing the verbiage that goes along with the offense. But that week one, there had to be a little instances of communication that there was never a word said.
Yeah, it was times where the crowd noise is going. Jay gives a play, walking to the line. What's that play? what? You don't know to play? Like, it's because he's so like sarcastic that sometimes you think he's messing with you. And he was like, yo, what's this play? And I'm just like, all right, now you're playing around, because he did this all the time. And he was like, no, seriously, what's the play? What's the play? I was like, oh, okay, I got you. This is what we're doing. Yeah,
I'm sure that's exactly what you wanted to hear right before the snap. All right, we got to take a timeout. But before we do, when we come back, I want you to think about this. Kyle Long had something really interesting to say following last week's game, where maybe things are about to turn the corner here in regards to the Bears. We'll discuss next with Charles Leno Jr. here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sunday's Bears game is brought to you by PNC, the official bank of the Bears. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears fan flag, courtesy of PNC. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears left tackle Charles Leno Jr. spending some time with us as the Bears get ready to take on the Lions tomorrow on the lakefront. And, you know, I was talking with Kyle Long after the game against Dallas, and it was rough, obviously. It was not fun, 0-3. But the second half, there were signs of life, especially from the offensive standpoint. And he said, even though you don't see it on the scoreboard and fans probably didn't realize it, the Bears' offensive line got better. What did he mean by that?
What he mean by that is we go to work every single day with a goal and a mindset to continue to get better. And we have shown that from week one to week two to week three, and this week in practice. We just go out there and try to perform the best we possibly can. I know there's no excuse in this league. Can't say, oh, week one, they just got together and you got to gel, and week two, you know, whatever it may be, whatever people may say. But we know we're on the right path, and if we keep going, we're going to build, and it's going to click very soon.
Yeah, that's the one thing about offensive line, it's never a finished product. Yeah. You can go out there and rush the ball for 300 yards, and if you gave up a sack, then everybody's questioning why. So, you know, and that's the thing about if you do lose some games, the work ethic, the work effort never stops. It only kind of picks up the concentration level. The meetings are a little bit more serious, and you pay attention to details. But like I said, you know, it's a work in progress. Week one through week 16 that started way back in OTAs.
Absolutely. And like you said, it's always work that goes undone.
Right.
You know, you can, like, 1 week you can be top of the hill. You know, you can rush for 200 something yards, no sacks. Then you play another opponent and you can just have just a horrible game. That's all you got to go to work every day with an even-keel mindset that we're going to get better. And I think we did that this week.
You know, last year in practices, I remember you taking a couple reps here and there at center, which was interesting because everybody has to have a dual role on this football team. I'm really impressed by Cody Whitehair because he has come in and made the switch. He had an opportunity to work with him at left guard and going, wow, this could be a tandem here for 10 years to come. Then all of a sudden, he's pulled over, he moves over to center, and they insert Josh Sitton. Tell us a little bit about Cody, about his future, and about what it was like, you know, watching him develop as a guard going to center.
And the future is extremely bright for Cody. Just incredible work ethic. You know, he comes to work with the mindset of he wants to be a perfectionist. And I try to tell him, you're not going to be perfect in this game. So, because I do it too. I mean, I go to work and think, I want to be perfect at practice, I want to be perfect in the game. It's not going to happen. You know, those guys get paid too. It's just the nature of the business. But if you go in there and you take something out of practice that you want to work on, go into practice and say, I'm going to work on this and get better at that week or that day and keep getting better. That's one thing he always did. From the beginning of the time when the OTA started, I just told him, pick something, work on it. And maybe he'll mess up something in one day. The next day he'll try to go back and correct it and only correct that one thing. Don't keep trying to correct all these different things where you're not going to get it all done in one day.
Right. You know, Cody kind of reminds me of Jimbo Covert because I came out of college with Jimbo Covert. He went to Pitt, and he came in. And when I met him at the All-Star game, and I knew him from the combine and stuff, you always knew this guy's going to be a starter from day one. Whoever drafts him, wherever he goes, Bears drafted him, boom, plugged him in as left tackle from day one. He was a starter from there. And then you think about them drafting Cody Whitehair, and you looked at his versatility and his college offensive line, and you kind of got the thought that going, boy, this guy's going to come in and compete with these veterans for a starting position. He's not going to be a backup for long. So, you know, him able to accept the pressure that was thrust upon him being a starting left guard, and then even more pressure thrust upon him making the switch right before the regular season to go over to center. I really admire his level of, you know, ability and development for that.
Yeah, I admire his competitiveness. I mean, the guy doesn't like to lose. He's not a loser. It's not an ounce of losing in his veins. And he wants to go out there and win. And I just admire the kid. And I can't wait to see him grow from here.
Hey, when I learned that Cody Whitehair is a player was the day in Bourbonnais. I know you remember this. When Eddie Goldman, who is as good of a defensive tackle as you'll find, right? He got into it with Cody. And didn't Cody yank the helmet off of Eddie? And Eddie had to leave practice because...
heat exhaustion. Right. He had to go right into the tent.
Because he tried to get into it with Cody Whitehair. And you don't want it. That guy's strong.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. He's just naturally strong. You know, country strong, I like to say.
He's strong. And the thing that I like is the work ethic. So when he found out he was playing center... he would show up even earlier than he normally does, and he shows up early to Hallis Hall, yes. Among the first few to come into the building, earlier than that. But the thing that must help him is he looks to his left, you've got a Pro Bowl guy in Josh Sitton. You look to the right, you got a Pro Bowl guy in Kyle Long. How can you not succeed when you have those two guys next to you? Makes the learning process a lot easier.
Yeah, makes life a little bit easier, too.
Are you guys a weight room team together? As the offensive line, are you guys that lift together? And, you know, just the togetherness, the brotherhood of an offensive line is kind of unique because you guys can't do anything without all five, or even the backup guys,
yeah.
Ted Larson and the whole crew. Are all you guys even weight room guys together?
Yeah, we try to, you know, get in the weight room as much as possible together. You know, it's just kind of hard when, you know, some guys might be dinged up and they have to be in for treatment at a certain lift time. So, and really a lot of guys don't like lifting after practice. So it all depends on what we got. But for the most part, we just try to get in and, you know, get work done together. Always in the meeting rooms together, do things outside of football, you know, just try to stay around each other because, you know, we all we got for the next 16 weeks.
You guys have a TV star in your room. Guy that was with the LA Rams for a little bit, Eric Cush. He was on Hard Knocks. We're going to find out about this guy with his tank tops and if he's brought that Hollywood attitude into Hallis Hall. That's next with Charles Leno Jr. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Get the ladies together for a night out. Woo! With the Bears. Chicago Bears Ladies Night, brought to you by Olivet Nazarene University. It's Tuesday, October 4th at Soldier Field. Find out more at chicagobears.com/events. You'll be there, Tom.
Yeah, with my tight pants
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you never miss Ladies Night. It gets interesting, I believe. last year, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was last year because I was helping you out, MC the thing, and did I think that's the one where Zach Miller and Marquise Wilson – offered to, right?
It wasn't a Pat O'Donnell.
It was Pat O'Donnell and Zach Miller offered to...
go to Manny Petty's with the ladies.
With a couple of ladies. Right. And the money, they had a little auction. The money went to charity. It was good stuff. I would never do that.
I cut my own fingernails.
Yeah, I just, you know, I could do without it, but I'm glad they enjoyed it. You know, especially if you're a punter, you want to make sure, you know, the petty works for you.
Right.
So I guess it did for Matt O'Donnell, and Zach Miller's a different kind of dude. So, yeah, ladies' night, October 4th, Soldier Field. Tom and Jeff will be emceeing. Have fun.
Going to miss you.
It's Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sedman. Charles Leno Jr., the Bears left tackle, is with us. So the Bears, right before the season started, added this guy named Eric Cush. He's a backup center. He's famous from that Hard Knock series with the Los Angeles Rams and his tank tops.
Yeah, Cush. We're lifting. We're lifting one day. And I just had a cutoff shirt on, you know, Bears regular cutoff shirt by Tony Medlin. He comes in, Leno, what's up, bro? You don't want a tank top? I'm like, no, I don't. Like, he's like, I got so many. You can have a stringy one. You can have a cut. I got so many. You got to wear one. I was like, all right, I'll do it for next lift. So maybe this Friday. Maybe next Friday I'll think about getting that.
I watched the episode where he described the different way, the different reasons he wears different tank tops. The real spaghetti strap ones are the day he does arms and big lifting. The thicker strapped ones are for when he goes out for formal formal night and stuff. It really funny. He had them made for the whole team and everything. And I do really I admire his enthusiasm to be on a football team, and however he contributes, he's an exciting guy to have in the room.
Yeah, he's a good guy, great guy. Love having him around. He's always, you know, down to work. You know, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, whether it's staying after practice and,
you know, doing extra things, always helpful, you know, a great communicator on the line, you know, just an all-around good football player.
Yeah, I noticed he spent some time with Cody helping him out, and Kevin Mawai has been a big addition. I know he doesn't just work with the centers. I see him a lot with you before games. What are you guys working on?
Yeah, but Kevin's just, you know, what can't we work on? You know, he's seen it all, done it all. You know, just a great coach, you know, really smart, crafty. And that's some things I try to, you know, use in my game. You know, just a lot of craftiness and, oh, you shouldn't put your hand. What he'll tell me is, what I did is not the way that a coach would teach it. I would do it a different way because, you know, it's a thousand ways to cut a pie, you know, and that's something that he showed me. Like, you don't have to do it the teach tape way, the cut way. If you get the job done, and that's the way you do it.
Well, that's a unique thing about offensive linemen. You know, you're different in your stance than Kyle Long is in his stance and Josh Sitton. So you do have to teach the athlete how to be the best, most comfortable athlete he's going to be. So because no two frameworks are exactly alike. And so I think that's a unique thing about Kevin Mawai is having the experiences you have in the NFL. He's seen a lot of different players built a lot of different ways come in – go about their craft differently.
And he's a guy that wanted to become a teacher, didn't know that coaching was for him, but then he started to do it through this Bill Walsh Fellowship, spent the entire offseason with the Bears, and did not realize that there was no guarantee he was going to be a member of the staff for this season. He was actually doing what you do, Tom. He's a broadcaster for LSU. Mm-hmm. And remember when they played Wisconsin to start the season? So after the Bears preseason finale against the Cleveland Browns, flies back on the charter, gets in the SUV, drives all the way up to Lambeau to call LSU Wisconsin. After the game, drives back to pick up his stuff. Ryan Pace says, hey, come on into the office. They hire him as an offensive assistant. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. And we're glad that we have him. Very glad that we have him. Can't speak enough how great he is to, you know, offensive line and all the success that we're going to have with him here.
He's a mentor, and I bring that up because this past week you got to visit Charles the Jordan School on the north side, and you talked to the kids there. It's the 19th year of the Bear School Outreach Program, part of the BAM program, Becoming a Man. And that's important because the words that a Chicago Bear has to say to kids, it resonates.
It does, and I was one of those kids, and that's what I told them. I remember being in, you know, high school, elementary school, middle school, throughout my years, Oakland Raiders will come, 49ers will come, and they'll just tell us things. And, you know, some kids will listen. You know, you got some that will listen, some that don't. But the ones that listen, like I did, you know, I remember some of those words that they'll say. You know, it's now I'm here. You know, if you just listen to the words that we're saying, because we did it, we got to this point. And I just try to tell them, believe in yourself and whatever you want to do, do it all the way. Don't listen to what you're friends, so-called friends, will say, because they're going to try to steer you in a direction that they want to pull you down. Just listen to it yourself, believe in yourself, and just go strive for what you want.
But it's important, man, because the success that you've achieved, it's, you know, your road's differently. Boise State is different than what most of the names that these kids have been hearing for a long time. But now that you're at the pinnacle, I mean, you're getting ready to start an NFL game after what you've been able to accomplish after a college career. Last week we had Sam Acho on here and talking about his intelligence and what that contributed to his game. But, man, going in and looking some of these students in the eyes, it means a lot to them because you're giving up your time in order to go talk to these guys.
Definitely, and that's something I told them. You know, I mean, it was Tuesday. You know, that's the day off for me. But I like to, you know, come in, work out, do film work and things like that. I got on this car, went down to go see these kids, and I told them I took time on my day. So I just want you to understand, like, I did it before, you know, and I'm doing this to give back to you guys. I want you guys to understand. Listen to me. I just want to help, you know, as much as I can.
When we come back, so he played on the blue turf in college. He's from the Bay Area, so you know he's not rooting for the Bulls this season. We'll discuss a lot to talk about with Charles Leno Jr. next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Need a ride to or from Sunday's game? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and enter code BEARSFAN to get $15 off your first Uber ride. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sabin. Charles Leto Jr. is our guest. And a reminder, you can listen to Bears All Access shows and all of the official team podcasts on iTunes. Just search for Chicago Bears. All right, so Charles grew up in the Bay Area, which means he is, of course, who wouldn't be a fan of the Golden State Warriors if you're from that area, right?
Definitely, yeah.
How did you guys lose?
Not 10 years ago.
Oh, hey. I still went to games. I can tell you the Warriors used to give my church tickets. Like, just please come to the game. I'm talking about 20, 30, 40 tickets. Just, we need to fill the stands. Now, they ain't doing that.
Yeah,
it costs $200 just to get a ticket.
Hey, they're moving into a new stadium pretty soon, right?
Oh, yeah. They got pushed back a little bit, but I still think they're going to be going in like 2021 or something
like that. Yeah, see, he's dialed in. He's a big-time Warriors fan. And you grew up in that era that was right after Run TMC, before they became this special group. So Latrell, right? Latrell Sprewell, was that the—
I was a little bit after that. I was like, it was around the time they had Baron Davis and— you know, those guys, and they beat the number one team in the Mavericks like 2007. So, I mean, I was all around that time, but, you know, I've seen a lot of tough years coming from the Warriors. So I'm just happy that we got a championship. We should have had two, and we're going to get one this year.
Did you play basketball? Did you play any other sports in high school?
Yeah, I played basketball all my life. I mean, I started football my sophomore year of high school.
Okay, so it's a little different. I mean, you play basketball growing up, you have a little bit more of an attraction to the sport, and sometimes you see, man, would it be an unbelievable to play a sport 72 degrees every day when all you put on is high-top gym shoes, a tank top and shorts?
Most definitely don't got to smash your head against somebody else.
But then you grew into a left tackle.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
You are. Yes, you are.
Basketball has got me this far, I can say that. It helps with my footwork.
Hey, Draymond Green briefly played some college football at Michigan State. Briefly.
What do you play, tight end or something? Or
I think, right, didn't he? They put him in there, but it didn't materialize because I think he realized what you realized.
I'm pretty sure he's happy with the amount of money he got now.
All right, so is this, you know, because there's no excuses this year. You bring in Kevin Durant, you got to win it all, don't you?
No excuses, but just like last year, injuries do happen.
I don't want to hear it.
Injuries do happen, and that's the reason why we didn't get that last championship, because Bogut and Steph Curry was still hurt.
Hey, you're still up 3-1.
You got to finish.
At the end, LeBron was tossing Curry around like he was a high school player.
Yeah, I would get tossed around too if my knee was halfway off.
No, you wouldn't. You'd just be able to deliver a little bit of a punch, get the guy off balance,
especially
and
on LeBron, right?
All right, the blue turf at Boise State. What's the deal with that?
It's great. I mean, I love playing there. I mean, we had a great stadium, you know, electric crowd every game. It just brings back memories, and I miss that place. I mean, I'm here now, but I definitely miss that place. I love going back to it every once in a while. I still have friends there. I like to go visit them.
How is that atmosphere up there? I mean, it's got to be a sellout every week, and, you know, you guys were such a good football program that, you know, it's got to be able – hopefully that leaves a lasting impression in your head as you came to prepare for your NFL career.
Oh, yeah, it taught me a lot. It taught me how to win, how to do it the right way, too. Had a great coach in Chris Peterson now at Washington, and – you know, I'm just really thankful for the people I met there and the coaching staff that I had.
Yeah, and it's not like you're the only guy that's come from there to get to – I mean, there's a little bit of a history now when you – and I see you after the games. You have many of your former teammates.
Yep.
You guys are, you know, signing jerseys, taking pictures, all that kind of stuff.
Definitely. I remember last year Denver Broncos had one of my center was there, Matt Paradis. Actually, one of the best centers in the league right now. He's playing really well. Last game, Dallas, Tyrone Crawford, defensive tackle, going against him. You know, every week is somebody. You know, and it's just good to see that, and I hope it continues.
We've got to say goodbye, man. This is an hour that get some sleep tonight.
I will.
Bears need you tomorrow. Bears Lions. Charles Leno Jr. taking some time out to spend time with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. For Tom Thayer, Zach Sabin, and executive producer Greg Miller. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.